All right, and welcome to the 2011 Igloo Fantasy Football Post-Draft Podcast. We're here with Ryan Gilmer, the manager of Goat Punishment, Matt Onesie Black, manager of Steel Shitty.
Onesie.
Yeah.
Onesie in the house. And we have Andrew Hahn, manager of O'Hara's O'Heroes. The purpose of the podcast here is to evaluate the draft and pick out some favorites post-draft for the season. And we're going to go ahead and do a round-by-round analysis, a what-were-they-thinking analysis. And we're going to start with round one. First pick in the draft by Dave Schreckengoss, taking Adrian Peterson. Immediate reactions to that pick.
Fairly predictable, safe pick.
Yeah. Yeah, I didn't know. I didn't know what Dave was gonna do. I honestly didn't know what he was. He was didn't give a lot of hints. Didn't know what he was going for. But yeah, AP solid pick. Plays a lot. Gets a lot of touches. McNabb.
Maybe overworked this season with McNabb.
Probably decent enough to throw a little bit, but still they'll run the offense through him. I think I don't know if I would have taken, who would you have taken first if you had the first pick? Would you have taken Peterson?
I would have taken AP. I mean, he's active enough in the passing game, especially out of the backfield. I think McNabb will be checking down quite a bit this season, so I like that. I think the more interesting pick is Aaron Rodgers.
Number two,
at
yes.
pick two, because...
Mm-hmm. Nick Adams, the newcomer, taking Aaron Rodgers at number two.
I mean, I felt Rodgers is definitely the number one quarterback on my board, but number two is, I would say, not a moderate reach. I mean, I can understand the value behind picking Rodgers at two. Obviously more predictable than Vic. And, you know, Nick, I felt like, thought that he wanted to get a top-tier quarterback, and if he's going to get one, he's going to get it in round one. So I actually don't mind the pick that much. I mean, Rodgers has very, very good value. I think he's going to score a shit ton of points. Yeah. So
I like the pick a lot, actually. And the reason I like it is because I hated the fact that he did it. And, like, I would have loved to get Rodgers, especially at seven, but... Yeah, I feel like he's the best quarterback. He's the most predictable quarterback. Just like AP is the most predictable running back.
Exactly.
He's the most predictable.
You don't think it was a reach though at two?
No, I mean, he's got the second pick. He's the next pick he gets is what pick? What was his next pick?
Next pick the
27?
No, it would have been 20. It would have been
20-30.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay, you're
27.
I mean, so you get any of the top 20 guys that you wanted, take the best guy you want, and that's who you're going to get. I mean,
Did he give any foreshadowing that he was going to be taking a quarterback?
Oh,
we talked with him extensively.
Yeah, totally. I was trying to talk him into Vic.
I mean, when I was out in San Francisco, it was pretty apparent that he had a hard on for Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah. I honestly think that's a good pick. I just think he's with less roster. And the thing I noticed too after the draft is we have one less roster spot, so there's less points total that's going to be scored each week. And Rodgers is gonna average 20 points a week, or at least be projected for that. He's a beast. I love him. I tried to act like I didn't love him for a long time, but
I mean, he's a reach in the sense that he probably should have gone like 7th or 8th. But again, I mean, you can't blame him for taking him at 2.
Well, and as quick as quarterbacks went, when he was picking again around 2, he would have not had anybody.
Yeah, I mean, he could have gone Foster there.
He could have gone
Ray Rice.
Ray Rice was there.
Yeah. But, I mean, other than that, I mean, I like the pick. I think it was a good pick.
I think another interesting pick in that round was Michael Vick at 11.
Oh, I think that's clearly the most value there. I mean, for the Vick's a total wild card, but he could also be the equivalent to Rodgers, if not outperform Rodgers.
He scored 65 more points.
Per game points. I think he averaged 27 points a game
last year. Andy, you're a big proponent of not taking Vic too early.
I was.
Are you surprised that he fell all the way down to 11? Past Eric? Past Joel?
I'm pretty surprised that Brady went so quickly, after Aaron Rodgers. And that there was a gap there. I mean, I love Ray Rice at 7. I had Ray Rice number 1 on my board. I think he's going to score a shit ton of points. I love LeSean McCoy. I think I got really good value at 8 because he was my number 2 running back on the board. So, I mean, I don't know. It was kind of a messed up first round, honestly. I felt like a lot of players got picked out of order. I wouldn't necessarily have changed a lot of things about the first round, but again, you figure that Rivers and Breeze are probably on the bubble in the first round, and instead they go in almost the middle of the first round. So that's
I think that's purely a product of people hyping quarterbacks. You know,
yeah,
quarterbacks
absolutely.
Are going. Quarterbacks are going. You better take a quarterback.
Right. Well, and Steph and Aaron know those guys, and they you know they're comfortable with the production they're going to get.
Tyler, pretty predictable with
the Chris Johnson pickup
3 years in a row.
But still, he's going to
get a solid pick, especially
PPR,
with his new contract.
He's the only guy there that's going to get touches.
I mean,
he could have gone Foster. Joel, I think, got a really good.
Joel got Foster at four.
But hamstring questions. I mean, a hamstring's not something that you shake off easily. I mean, it could definitely pester him the rest of the year.
Yeah, but he's similar to Vic as a running back.
To be honest,
he could outperform everybody again like he did last year, I think. If I had the first overall pick, I probably would have gone Foster.
Even with the injury,
regardless of the hamstring, I think.
Yeah, this is one of the years that I'm really glad I didn't have one of the first 4 or 5 picks, because there really wasn't a consensus overall number one or a straight up drafting strategy, because everybody has a lot of questions. So
yeah, you get to Brady at 5. I don't know.
Yeah.
To me, Brady's great, but I don't think he's that much different than other guys you've got.
I don't think
later.
Yeah, Philip Rivers, Drew Brees, Michael Vick,
Romo, even Big Ben, all those guys. I don't know. Brady's obviously again a consistent guy though, like Rodgers. He's probably one of the most predictable guys. And last year, I think he was the second highest point getter behind Foster.
Yeah, he was.
So he's obviously. I wouldn't have taken Brady 5th, but you know what you're going to get with him. Charles.
We had Beck filling out the top 6 there with Jamal Charles, kind of best player available.
I'm glad he took Charles.
Charles had
a
breakout year last year. No surprise there. We have Ray Rice at 7 to Ryan.
Yeah, that was kind of clear.
Along
with Andy, I had Ray Rice at the top of my draft board. Especially in the PPR league. LeSean McCoy going at number 8.
Yeah. I think that was also
a
pretty clear pick.
A good
unless
pick
you really loved Vic.
Well, yeah, I mean,
kind of a
no-brainer there. I really, you know, I thought I'd take a quarterback in round 1 if Rodgers was available. But other than that, or unless, like, 5 quarterbacks went before me, I wasn't going to waste a pick on a quarterback. So I'm pretty happy. That's a great thing. If quarterbacks go on a run early,
great running backs
are going to be around.
Yeah,
so.
And those two guys with being able to not only run but also catch out of the backfield, Rice and McCoy is going to be solid.
So after Rivers, Breeze, no,
we take
no
Rivers,
buddies.
Breeze, a Breeze, Maddie. a very familiar player with Breeze at number 10 to Aaron.
Yeah,
kind of a no brainer there.
Humdrum.
We got Vic
with B-Mac, and then number 12. Number 12.
Maddie felt a peer pressure.
Did we talk Maddie?
Peer pressure in the C-Bus draft room.
In the Columbus draft room, there was some Rashard Menhall chanting. Matt pulled the trigger. Matt, what was your reasoning behind taking Menhall at number 12?
Just say peer pressure.
Well, there was a little bit of that. I'm not
a little bit of homerism there?
Yeah, that's
a little bit of homerism?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I'm still
You'd like
a fan,
to see him
so,
do well.
Yeah, but and at the same time, I can root for him because he plays for the team I like. But, you know, he's a solid running back. And I think out of the running backs after that, I mean, I don't know, Forte, there's issues with his whole contract. Is he going to sit? I think he'll obviously play, but, you know, there's all the other running backs. I would have taken Mendenhall over those guys. So
here's the question, though, Maddie. If you're thinking about sitting Mendenhall week 1 against the Ravens, how is your first round pick not an every week start? That's my question.
Well, it's because if you look at his stats...
It's just because of the Ravens and you've seen those games. They play those games all twice a year,
and you look
three
at his
times
stats, he's played Baltimore 5 times in his career. I looked at this after the draft, and he averages about 65 yards a game against Baltimore, and he's only got, I think, 2 or 3 scores in those 5 games. So he's going to struggle
against
Baltimore.
Do they play Baltimore twice this year?
Yeah.
Every divisional team.
Okay.
13-14.
So you got 13-14, Andre Johnson, 13
right.
to Paul.
We've 13-14, no
Roddy
graders.
White. I take Roddy White, followed by Matt Forte. I wanted to get a quarterback in my two picks, but
five
because
were gone. Yeah, we're,
because of the picks, because the quarterbacks went in the first round, I just couldn't pass up on some of the talent there and hope that if someone like a Matt Schaub or you know, Matt Stafford or Matt Ryan was available the next time it came around.
Yeah, Matt Ryan thing didn't
unfortunately,
work out so well.
Fortunately, that didn't happen. We'll talk about that in round two.
John, what'd you, let me ask you, what did you think about, you know, struggling last year as you did, obviously? And a lot of that wasn't your fault. It was injuries
well,
and things like that.
Well, struggling last
year.
My,
but you were last pick again this year.
My like, my, well, it was kind of fate that I was taking last pick this year. Struggling last year, I mean, it didn't all come down to me not having a quarterback. I mean, that was a big, big part of it. But my first five picks last year didn't – three of my first five picks didn't turn out. I had Randy Moss, obviously. That's well chronicled. I did take Brett Favre. And I also had Donald Driver, who got injured early. So, yeah, I didn't have a quarterback last year, and it sucks to go through a draft without a quarterback. But it also sucks going through the season having – three of your top five picks not really produce the points you thought they would. So I was confident in Riley White and Matt Forte and then confident hoping again that a quarterback would be available on the way back through. But I hit Matt Forte at number one. We're going to kind of blow through these next rounds fairly quickly. Got Matt Forte at the beginning of the second round, followed by Darren McFadden, the Meerkats, taking up a running back again. Paul's passing on a QB to take a running back.
Yeah,
probably
I really like those two picks.
Probably
actually,
a product
Paul.
Of yeah. QBs going early again.
I actually thought about doing the exact same thing he did.
I mean,
of
I, honestly,
McFadden,
I,
if he's not
I don't
hurt,
love
he
the,
could be a beast,
I don't
too.
Love the McFadden pick. And, I mean, I know he had a great year last year, but Michael Bush is back there, too. And he's going to take some carries, I think. And McFadden has been injury-prone
Michael
in the past.
Michael Bush, who
so.
Was picked up by Ryan.
Yeah, I got him
late.
Later, 8th, 7th, or 8th round.
So we got Paul taking Darren McFadden, followed by Larry Fitzgerald. Fitzgerald finally has
good
a decent
pick.
Quarterback
yeah,
in Arizona.
He could be the top receiver. Yeah.
He could be
about
a very,
time.
Very high receiver. Good pick by Matt.
I'd be interested to know, actually, if BMAC would have preferred Fitzgerald to Calvin Johnson. I bet he would have. But I don't know that for sure. But
I think it all boils down to who's the better quarterback, and I think that remains to
if
be
Stafford
seen.
Stafford gets hurt. Yeah.
Yeah.
But still,
yeah.
Calvin Johnson had a really good year without
yeah.
with Stafford
yeah.
not doing anything.
I mean, let's just skip right ahead. I mean, I took Frank Gore.
Yeah, I mean,
I love that pick. I thought it was great value. Steph took Peyton
Hillis. Steph took Peyton Hillis at number six.
No, I like
Homerism
Peyton
there.
Homer
pick.
I think he'll be good.
But
I think he'll be good.
He'll see you. I don't think he'll be quite as good as last year, but still a fairly decent pick. Was your number one
Let's
running back.
Let's talk about
back.
Matt Ryan in the...
Was that third round or second
pick
round?
Pick nine
no,
in the
pick
second
number
round.
Nine.
I think that was the first shot.
So Ryan takes Tony Romo, which kind of seals up the yeah. upper tier of quarterbacks, and we're dealing with some mid-range quarterbacks. Beck pulls the trigger on Matt Ryan at number nine. Is it a reach, and how big of a reach is it?
I would say it's a fairly significant reach. I mean, Schaub was still on the board. I liked Stafford more than him. I
Even
thought,
Roethlisberger, maybe?
I thought Peyton Manning was a bet. Like, Manning, I know, is injured, but he's only, you know, moved down a couple slots on most people's draft boards. So I think Matt Ryan there was a pretty significant reach.
Yeah, but he's got weapons. He could turn out, I mean, his upside could be higher than what we've seen. He doesn't have the history that some of the other guys do.
Right.
I mean, I wouldn't have taken him there, but... It could turn out.
And let's talk about the
yeah,
reach of,
yeah, followed
of
by,
Eric
yeah.
Marshall.
Followed by Matt Ryan is Fuzzy Duck with his superior drafting knowledge, taking Felix Jones, a Dallas running back. And I think you could probably catalog that one in the what were they thinking drawer. What are your thoughts on Felix Jones?
I think Felix Jones will have a really good year.
He has a lot of upside, but
he's
also very injury prone. And they have a lot of backs in Dallas. I mean, they have a lot of backs they like. Tashard Choice is back
yeah,
there.
Yeah, they got rid of Marion Barber, but they do still have Choice.
So,
I think I don't know. I like the Felix Jones pick more than you guys do. I think he's... I mean, I can tell. I mean, Eric's reading Matthew Berry or whoever else on ESPN or whatever. But, I mean, yeah, I think he'll be all right. I think he'll have more of a role than he's had in the past.
So
catch balls. I think he'll be all right.
So we have Eric, like we said, taking Felix Jones, followed by Joel going running back, Arian Foster in the first, followed by Steven Jackson in the second.
Two pretty legit.
Choosing not to take a wide receiver, water quarterback.
He didn't take Nicks because he's had Nicks in the past.
He did have Nicks last
Nicks got
year.
Hurt. Maybe that's what he didn't like. I don't know.
Okay.
Yeah, but
Nicks
again,
next.
Steven Jackson and Arian Foster. Arian Foster has an injury. Steven Jackson is injury prone.
Yeah.
I mean, that you can't have your two two top picks have injury question marks, and that's what I don't like about that.
Yeah.
We take Hakeem Nix, who was the second wide receiver on my draft board, taken by Tyler, followed by Michael Turner going to McCoy Pond Pirates.
And
LeGarrette Blount. Kind of a head scratcher there with LeGarrette Blount.
Yeah, I mean, he'll score some points.
The thing is, those guys can be touchdown machines, but they're not going to catch the kind of passes that make them
a good third round.
Lot of 9 or 10 point weeks out of those guys if they have a line like 90 yards, no touchdowns, one catch, you know, something like that. But
yeah, yeah. So we're going back into the third round here. Dave takes Roethlisberger number one.
Don't say all the picks.
We have going through Mike Wallace, Matt Schaub,
first tight
Vincent
end
Jackson, Greg Jennings, Miles Austin. Ryan takes the first tight end in Antonio Gates. Andy takes Peyton Manning. Steph, clock is her enemy with Sean Green.
That was an auto pick, an everyone.
Auto pick of Sean Green.
Which is not horrible.
Yeah, I didn't think it was as bad as she was mad because it auto picked, but I didn't think it was that
bad. So we have followed her is DeSean Jackson, who Steph actually wanted. Ahmad Bradshaw to Brian McGinnis, followed D'Angelo Williams to Matt.
Which Matt was not in love with.
I don't like
Not in love with, yeah. He was ruining that pick when he made it.
But.
Matt Stafford taken by Paul right before me, who I wanted.
Yeah, I love the Stafford pick there.
Paul,
I think if he can stay
first Andre Johnson, McFadden, and Stafford.
I mean,
those
if,
guys
if,
can all
if Stafford can stay healthy.
Nuts.
Yeah,
he was
averaging like 17 points a game last year before he went down. So and then you took Jason Witten, John, to round out
second
the
tight
round.
End. Any head scratchers, highlights of that third round, real quick?
I mean, I felt like that was pretty pedestrian. I mean, people took who I thought the name brands were. I was kind of surprised that two tight ends went in round three.
Yeah, well, I would have taken Vincent Jackson. I wanted him. Jennings, Austin, those three receivers, I would have probably
You've
taken
had
any
Austin
of those.
In the
yeah,
past.
I think Austin. Yeah.
Austin,
with, Austin
is
Romo,
feast or famine,
yeah,
though.
He's, but with
I
Romo,
mean,
he's had a good history with Romo.
He has.
But after all those guys went off the board, I could have either gone. Wayne, which I didn't really want to do that early, and I knew if I didn't take a tight end, I probably wouldn't get. You know, once the tight ends start falling, Gates, Clark, Finley, all those guys are going to go quick.
Yeah.
I didn't want to wait around 14 picks for somebody to get, so I just decided to go with him and then get another receiver when it came back.
Are there any standouts? We're going to speed this up a little bit. Are there any head scratchers or
round four,
points of contention
round five,
in round four?
Six? I mean, I did have to take Eli Manning beginning of round four.
Yeah.
A lot of people questioned that pick. That was purely I had worked myself into a week eight bye week conundrum with my first two picks, Roddy White, Matt Forte, both had a week eight bye week. So it was purely – I was looking at Josh Freeman, but again, the bye week, he had a week eight bye week, so I had to take Eli Manning. We have Aaron taking Anquan Boldin with their second wide receiver pick at number five.
That's the only one I really question in that round.
He has potential to be okay, but not probably in Baltimore. We have Eric taking in round five. We have Eric taking Steve Hightower or Tim Hightower.
Mr. Hightower.
Expecting some big things out of him in Washington.
He may wear a purple suit occasionally.
Brian McGinnis. Let's talk about Brian McGinnis in the fifth round taking Chad Ochocinco.
Yeah, not his finest moment,
well,
I don't think.
Here's the thing. If he's really – like, if he could be – like, Deion Branch had a really good year with Brady as a top receiver last year.
Yeah.
If Ochocinco is this year's Deion Branch, Branch had a lot of points.
Right.
There were weeks at the end of the year
Moss
he
had.
Had
good,
yeah,
you
I
know,
mean,
rapport with
Brady,
Brady
can make
well.
Anybody pretty good. And I feel like that pick could work out all right for Brian.
I don't like him in round five. Like, I agree with that.
Who else around there would you have taken? He could have taken. Who else could
he
have
taken?
I'll tell you,
Amendola
is going to score more points than Ochocinco at the end of the season, guaranteed.
But Amendola was taken.
He could have taken Amendola. He could have taken Percy Harvin. Percy Harvin would have been a good pick there.
I like Macklin.
Macklin would have been a good pick.
Macklin, he could have gunned on Macklin or Britt, but Britt is a huge question mark. You've got, and after that, it's a lot of running backs that got taken.
No, Sean got taken. Law Firm got taken in the sixth round, number two pick by Paul. Big pick there. Brian follows up his Chad Ochocinco pick with a Reggie Bush pick. at number 4 in the 6th round.
I love that pick. He stole that from me. That was the only player that Brian stole from me the entire draft.
Yeah.
That's incredible value for a running back one and a PPR monster, and he's supposed to be getting between 16 and 20 touches a game.
Well, the Yahoo projections liked him, too. They were projecting him for, like, 14 or 15 points in week one.
I mean, we'll see if he can stay healthy, yeah. But...
He's a kind of... You don't know what you're going to get with him as a featured back.
Right.
But if he catches 5 balls for 30 yards a game, that's 8 points before you even, you know, have to worry about rushes or touchdowns.
I mean, I think the other head-scratcher in that round for me is Fred Jackson at 10.
Couple other highlights. Fred Jackson at number 10. I don't really like Hines Ward at number 9.
Yeah.
To back another head-scratcher.
I mean, the Pittsburgh homer doesn't like Hines Ward at 9.
Not at that early. Like, yeah. I think he's a tough receiver, but in that... you got Sanders, and you got some other guys that are coming up now. You know, Brown, that they're not. Yeah.
And Olsen at 14.
Yeah, Dave
is
takes
a
Greg Olsen
pick.
At number 14. In Carolina with a new quarterback.
Yeah, that is just
I
mean, not
I'd give props. I want to give props to Nick for the Joe Adai pick. Yeah. He's my boy. he will surprise you.
The other highlight of round 6, Andy does pick up Kevin Cobb to start maybe the first couple of games for Peyton Manning.
Well, clearly after the first 6 rounds, we're kind of now into, like...
We're in the scrubs.
We're into, like, lottery ticket mode.
Any highlights from the next 6 rounds for you guys? Any head-scratchers? Any good picks?
Yeah, to take a defense.
Aaron
with the 10th pick in the 7th round. That was a little iffy.
Eric takes
Green Bay.
Eric takes 2 defenses in the next 6 rounds.
Yeah,
the only person to take 2 defenses.
Yeah. I mean, I can understand why you drafted New Orleans, but...
Eric. That's the theme so far, for sure.
Yeah.
Trying to think
anything
what else.
Nick picks up Colt McCoy.
Yeah, that...
In the 9th, maybe a product of how well he did in the preseason games.
But behind Rodgers, I mean...
I don't know.
You're never going
to
play
him. You might not need to play him, except for a bye week there, which is probably what he was thinking. Joel takes Braylon Edwards in the 8th round with 11
ahead
pick,
of Crabtree.
Ahead of Michael Crabtree.
I don't know about that.
Let's see here.
You like Spiller, Andy. You got
Spiller
in the 8th
round. I mean, I think that he's going to be competing for number 1 touches in Buffalo. That's one of the reasons why I didn't like the Fred Jackson pick, is I think Spiller has a lot of upside.
Last year, Jackson kept the job over Spiller and got most of the carries and points.
They also got rid of Marshawn Lynch late in the season, so there's one less back to spread the ball around to. And Buffalo is going to be running a lot more this season. They got rid of Lee Evans. I don't think they're going to have much of a passing attack. And Spiller's going to touch the ball more times per game. So, I mean, I think I drafted... Where did I draft Spiller? Like, 9? 10?
Check on your other...
8th round. 7th pick.
Oh, that's right.
8th round.
Yeah, so I don't really mind that pick too much. I mean, honestly, when I get into, like, the later rounds, what I'm looking for is high upside players. I think I can easily see a point in which Spiller just... comes of age, takes over, and
he's got tons of athletic ability.
Yeah, exactly.
Bust big plays. Yeah. He could be.
And they love getting the ball to him in space. Yeah. So
we have Aaron taking Jacoby Jones in the 11th round. Kind of a shocker there. She was not happy with Andy at one point a couple years ago.
Well, right after
the Jacoby Jones,
right after
for
the Jacoby Jones
Cullen,
pick, we have
Cullen,
the Rashad Jennings
Winslow.
Pick by Brian.
Yeah,
which I would say
Brian says he accidentally clicked on the wrong player.
I think that was more drunk error than draft error.
But hey,
Joel pretty proud of himself for taking the backup and DeLone Carter.
I like that pick. It's a Colt, which means. You know, Joel's succumbed finally to Indianapolis fantasy value, which I like.
So highlights of the round-by-round analysis. Feel free to disagree, agree, expand on any of our comments on the Igloo boards.
I like the round 12. Dave got Antonio Brown, round 12, 14th pick.
I mean, see, that pick to me honestly makes more sense than Hines Ward so early in the draft. I mean, Brown has a ton of upside. You're not wasting a mid-round draft pick on him. I mean...
Well, that's... And Dave's... You know, Dave knows the Steelers and knows what guys are going to do, so I feel like he knows what he's doing with that pick.
So we go from a round-by-round analysis. Now we're going to go ahead and quickly break down team by team, very quickly touching on each and every team. We do have some stronger teams. We have a couple weaker teams, but a lot of teams that seem to be fairly evenly matched.
Yeah, I mean, I think overall the league has an unprecedented amount of parity after the draft. I mean...
Well, it's so deep. You can't really get... guys you want, so you're hoping to hit gold with a guy late that turns out to be good.
We start off with the first pick in the draft, Dave, on like Ndamukong. Anything about his team jump out to you? We touched on the Greg Olsen pick. We touched on the LeGarrette Blount pick. Anything else about his team? Fairly solid team. How would you rate his team 1 through 10?
Middle of the pack, I would say. I mean, nothing overly egregious, but I...
Not horrible. Yeah, maybe not a great. 6 or a 7.
What about old Nicko?
We move on to Nick, McCoy Pond, Pirates. Again, we touched on Aaron Rodgers. Probably will turn out to be a good pick. Anything else about him? He was pretty happy with his Michael Turner pick.
3 Colts in a row, 5, 6, 7.
I don't know about that.
Dallas Clark, Adai, and Pierre Garçon. So hopefully Manning is healthy.
Taking Johnny Knox in the 8th, maybe hoping for some kick return yards.
That could be interesting for his bye weeks, too, with 3 Colts.
He took Johnny Knox and Devin Hester, both returners from Chicago. A little Chicago bias there for Nick. Going on to Tyler Cornbread, again, Chris Johnson in the 1st, fairly good pick for him. Kind of a head-scratcher with Cornbread, taking Jerome Harrison in the 10th.
Yeah.
Handcuffing his Javid Best, but what do you think about that?
Javid Best is not the guy that you want to handcuff. You want to handcuff Foster. Yeah. You want to handcuff your top-tier backs that have they're injury-prone. And Javid Best... on his best days as a running back, too, I don't understand why you waste a spot on Harrison. I mean, Harrison could produce at some point, but he's a waiver wire ad.
If Best gets hurt, I mean, Harrison could have a big week. I mean, he has in the past. He's had huge weeks late in the season. So.
How would you rate Nick's team real quick?
I think Nick did pretty well, actually.
Yeah, I mean, I'd give him like a 6 or 7, probably.
Probably pretty good for somebody in his second year in fantasy football.
For a rookie who's feeling his way around, I think he did pretty well.
Tyler... How would you rate Tyler's team? Okay.
Yeah.
Again, another middle of the pack team. Stands out.
Tyler's second or third year in the league?
I think it's his.
He's had pretty good success.
It's
so
his
far.
Third. It's his third. The one thing I really like about Tyler's team is Chris Johnson, Hakeem Nicks, Matt Schaub, Vernon Davis. 4 fairly big players.
Best
is
going to
be a beast. If he can stay healthy, Best will be good.
Takes Mark Ingram in the 6th. Might turn out to be a good pick. Might not. I don't know. Nobody wants to touch the Saints backfield.
Yeah, I mean, who knows?
Pierre Thomas, Chris Ivory.
Sproles.
Darren Sproles.
Ivory's out.
Oh, is he?
Yeah. Okay. Pupper IR.
My bad. So we move on to Joel's team. One thing I want to point out, 4 picks of Joel's team, we can chalk those up to the first team all-thug team of the NFL.
Thug team
2011. Aaron Foster, Steven Jackson, Vincent Jackson, Dwayne Bowe. Joel Flacco is starting quarterback. Sam Bradford is back.
He got Bradford in the 7th round, and I would probably have taken Bradford before I would have taken Flacco.
Yeah.
But he ended up with both of them, so maybe he can play matchups.
But that's your classic who do I start conundrum, though. Those quarterbacks are so well matched that each week is going to be painful trying to figure out who to start.
He's got a couple more thugs in between that with Winslow and Edwards.
Kellen Winslow. We move on to Fuzzy Duck, and Joel's team, good rating for Joel's team real quick.
I think Joel's got
pretty good.
If Foster is as good as he's been, as he was last year, I mean, that he'll carry that team enough.
If his quarterbacks pan out,
If he gets one of those guys, Bradford, a lot of people like.
Castle's going to target Bo a lot, I feel, too.
So we move on to Eric, like I said. Eric, I mean, I have 4 bullet points on Eric's team, tied with Justin Beck. Tom Brady in the 1st, Felix Jones in the 2nd, Green Bay in the 7th, New Orleans in the 11th, Fred Jackson in the 6th. A lot of head scratches in there. Jacoby Ford in the 10th. Probably a little bit better spot for Jacoby Ford.
Pinning a lot of hope on Lance Moore in the 8th. I'm not sure about that pick either.
See, I like Eric's team more than you guys do.
Backup.
I don't understand the 2 defenses at all because I don't know that you need to carry another defense on your roster.
What do you like about it?
I think Lloyd in the 4th round is really good value. Hightower could turn out well.
He could turn out well, but I feel like he went right where he was supposed to go. I mean,
I really like his first 5 guys.
Yeah, sure.
After that, it's like, who knows what will happen.
Sure.
Greg Jennings, pretty good wide receiver.
Oh, yeah.
I don't like his depth, but I like his top five guys a lot.
Yeah, sure.
We move on to Justin Beck. And Justin Beck, I mean, I love the guy. Really good guy. First year in the league.
Might have dialed it in a little
lot,
bit.
A lot of questionable picks. Matt Ryan again in the second. We have Aaron Hernandez.
Lord. Aaron Hernandez in the fifth. But not...
Not in the fifth, you don't.
I wanted him later.
Hines Ward in the sixth. Willis McGahee in the eighth. I'm not sold on that pick. Andy kind of likes
that
pick.
You're not sold on that because you've got no Sean Moreno.
Yeah, that is true. That is true.
Pittsburgh defense should have a pretty good year. Jordy Nelson caused all kinds of turnovers.
They played the Bengals twice.
Can you imagine starting them twice?
I mean, that was the second defense taken right after
Donald Driver in the 12th. Does Donald Driver return back to his previous form of before last year, or does he continue to fade out? Of Green Bay, we move on to Ryan.
Ryan had a great draft, in my opinion.
Ryan did have a good draft. First player to take a tight end, Ray Rice, Tony Romo, and Antonio Gates. Any other standout picks,
Real
Ryan?
Good value. Steve Johnson there in the fifth.
Yeah, I feel like I took the guys I had to take. I felt like I had to take Gates when I did. Otherwise, I was going to end up with a receiver I didn't want in the third round. Or a receiver I could have gotten later. In the third round, and I would have reached for him. So I took Gates. Hopefully, he stays healthy.
I think the Ben Tate pick was great.
Yeah.
If Foster gets hurt, Ben Tate can step in too.
Yeah. Branch. I like the Branch pick too.
Sidney Rice in the eighth.
Yeah, Tavares Jackson, not known for hitting the deep balls.
Yeah.
I think I was targeting a receiver there. I don't know what I was thinking with Sidney Rice.
Mario Manningham's good pickup in the fourth there, too.
Well, and I took, who'd I take right before him that you wanted? Reggie Wayne.
That
moves us on to Andy's team picking next in the draft. LeSean McCoy, Frank Gore, Peyton Manning, and Reggie Wayne, top four picks.
Yeah, Andy's top other highlights, five are pretty good, too.
Percy Harvin, we've got
Harvin
Kevin Cobb.
That was another
to
guy
start,
I wanted.
CJ Spiller. Not a bad draft. Andy also was the only team in the draft not to take a defense.
Yeah, I mean, I'm going to end up dropping Eddie Royal for whoever decided to play in week one, but, I mean, at this point, it doesn't make a lot of sense to take a defense in the last pick if you don't have to. I mean, a lot of things change.
See, but the thing is, I understand that if we were drafting a couple weeks ago, but, there's no more games.
Yeah.
What are you going to learn in the next 4 days?
You're immediately
going
to
have
to drop somebody for defense.
McGinnis did this last year, and I didn't get it because I was like, you know, you're not. It's not like Eddie Royal may get hurt. He might break out. Like, you're going to have to drop somebody without any further information on how well they've done.
I mean, that's true. And to be quite honest, mostly of what I was doing was seeing whether or not I actually could not draft a defense.
Just saying the computer would let
you. Yeah, I was trying to figure it out on Yahoo whether or not it would even let me do it.
Yeah.
So, I mean, To be all ribbing aside, I mean, I know that BMAC hates Eddie Royal, but I do think Eddie Royal has upside this season.
He had a good season last year. For first half of the year.
He did all right.
He'll be good if he has Orton. If Tebow gets in there, who knows
Lloyd
what's going to happen.
Lloyd and Royal last year for the first half of the season were like, I looked every week, I'm like, when are these guys going to stop?
Yeah, I don't mind my draft. I mean, I don't love it. I don't hate it. It was completely not what I thought I was going to draft, but a lot of that was dictated early on by the
We'll move on to drafting strategies and things like that. But we move on quickly to Steph, Phillip Rivers, Peyton Hill, Sean Green, Marquise Colston, Danny Amendola, top five picks. Steph, maybe a victim of her newly announced pregnancy. I'll throw that out there as the sperm provider. But
someone else should have said that, John.
She did hit the clock on a couple of them. Sean Green, not her intended pick again.
Yeah,
she wanted to take DeSean Jackson. Not a bad pickup.
Steph did have a very stereotypical Steph draft in that there was a lot of swearing.
There was a lot of swearing.
There was a lot of confusion.
She did swear Aaron a couple of times. Steph also did not mean to take New York defense at number 8.
That's true.
She takes Cedric Benson in the 7th. Benson's already served his jail time. Is he missing any games?
I mean, the problem with Cincinnati is they're extremely
one-dimensional. They don't have a quarterback. People will put in.
I mean, he's
putting
get,
8 people in the box.
He's going to get 400 touches, but I don't know if that's going to help. So
I like the Danny Amendola pick
round.
At number 5.
Seventh round, you know, too.
Yeah, that's a cut your losses there. Danny Amendola round 5.
Yeah.
With the new kickoff rule, people like Johnny Knox don't have a lot of value. Punt returners like DeSean Jackson, who she did want, and Danny Amendola,
I love the Amendola pick.
Their value goes up.
He's number one wide receiver in St. Louis. He's competing with Sims Walker for receptions there. I absolutely love that pick. I think people expect Sam Bradford to take a step forward this season.
Yeah.
I think that pick, honestly, at the end of the year, Amendola could easily score top 25 level points. So yeah.
I was gonna pick him up if nobody like else had taken him.
I like the Lee Evans pick too. I mean, personally, just I think he could have
Baltimore. A few big weeks for sure.
And Bolden, Bolden is gonna draw double teams.
They did get Derek Mason's out of there.
Yep, crowded so machine. I think Lee Evans could be a big.
We move on to Aaron. Lucky seven picking next in the draft. Drew Brees, MJD, DeSean Jackson, Anquan Boldin, Jimmy Graham, the tight end from New Orleans, her top five picks.
Steve Smith.
Highlights of her.
Interesting.
Again, yeah. Anquan Boldin. Yeah, Steve Smith in the ninth out of Carolina.
He's good. Is Cam Newton going to ever be able to target him?
She takes Danny Woodhead in the 10th.
Yeah, not
questionable.
Finest hour there.
She takes Mark Sanchez. Does she need Mark Sanchez with Drew Brees? Maybe again. Playing that, but one
again,
thing I
Aaron's
do want to talk about.
Quarterbacks,
one thing I do
want to
talk about.
Cast.
Multiple quarterbacks. We talked
a lot
about
of people
earlier.
Draft two quarterbacks.
A few weeks ago, I think Ryan and I both talked about the Peyton Manning, Joe Flacco conundrum that Aaron had a year or two ago. Will she face something similar this year with Drew Brees and Mark Sanchez?
Mean, Aaron, if you're listening this long into the podcast,
and we
for
hope
the
you
love
are.
Of
we
God, do not bench Brees ever
except
until
for the
his
bye
week.
Except for the bye week.
And then please bench him.
And
but then put him back.
And then get rid of Mark Sanchez because you won't need him.
Yeah. I mean, there is absolutely no reason why you would ever start Sanchez
Aaron
over
also
Brees.
Only took one tight end this year,
yes.
A departure from previous years,
yes.
And did not take a Browns player.
And she took Brian Hartline
but she
last.
Did, yeah, but she did take an OSU player with her.
And I think that's a Canton
pick. From her
pick.
High school, actually.
Yeah, Glen
yeah.
Pick.
Glen Oak. So you we know. Move on to Brian McGinnis next. McGinnis drafting drunk, or so he says. Taking Vic, Calvin Johnson, Ahmad Bradshaw, Des Bryant, Chad Ochocinco, Reggie Bush. Top six picks. We highlighted Reggie Bush. We highlighted the head scratcher of Ochocinco.
Like
Brian takes
four.
Mike
the
Vic.
The good draft,
solid,
like,
yeah.
Vic, he obviously had to take. Calvin Johnson's a great pick. Bradshaw, I don't know about Bradshaw. I really don't.
He will get some touches, probably poached.
And
Brandon
Jacobs was in the doghouse last year. So.
Yeah, but Bradshaw's been hurt in the past, too. I've
he
had
takes,
him.
Brian takes LT in the ninth.
LT is not going to get touches this year.
I don't know about that.
The Jets staff is very, very adamant that Sean Green is going to touch the rock way more than LT. I don't like that pick at all.
I do like the James Starks pick, 10th round.
James
yeah.
Starks. If
something
happens
to
Grant,
Starks is going to be
yeah.
the man.
Grant's been pretty ineffective the last couple years anyway.
Yeah, I agree.
So. Rashad Jennings taken right after James Starks, running back. Actually,
yeah.
Took three running backs, 9 through 11. LT, James Starks, Rashad Jennings again. He claims Rashad Jennings
well,
was a misfire.
Drop, he's going to drop Jennings. He's a kicker, so he's going to drop Jennings. And get
Brian, the one bright spot, I think, in Brian's draft is a pick number 12 with Rob Gronkowski.
Yeah.
Fairly decent 12. Value in round 12.
I mean,
12.
Better value than yeah. Aaron Hernandez that Beck
exactly.
reached for in
see,
like
exactly.
five.
See, but I think Hernandez has a lot more upside than Gronkowski does. He's way more athletic.
Gronkowski caught
a lot of touchdowns.
Nine touchdowns last year.
Nine or ten. Yeah.
I know.
It's ridiculous.
I know.
So then we move on to Matt Black. Rashard Mendenhall, homer pick, followed by Larry Fitzgerald with Kevin Cobb there in Arizona. D'Angelo Williams, Josh Freeman, Jeremy Maclin, top five picks for him. Highlights of Matt's. Matt did take Tony Gonzalez in the eighth. Will Tony Gonzalez continue to be a serviceable tight end?
I think
so. He'll be okay.
You kind of got caught, though. I think you didn't really. You just had to get a tight end.
I had to
point.
Get a tight end at that point.
How
there
good
was nothing
will
else
Freeman be? That's
available.
A big question mark. If he's as good
right.
as he was last year or even a little better, that could be a really good pick.
Matt does take
Beanie
Brandon
Jacobs.
Does take Beanie Wells.
Beanie Wells
is a good pickup.
In the sixth round, he's the only guy there. If he's ever going to be good, it's going to be this year. So
Matt does pick up Kyle Orton, somebody I thought that Nick should have taken. Nick playing the bye weeks with Colt McCoy. And then taking Mike Williams there in the 12th.
I honestly don't know about that. I mean, I think I might
Rodgers.
Like Colt McCoy a little bit better than Orton, honestly. I mean,
well, it depends on when how late the bye week is. And the one question I had about taking Orton, and I wasn't sure about doing it, was because if Denver is going to suck as bad as they say, if they start out, you know, 2-4 or 1-5,
you're see a little
here
Tebow.
Comes in Tim Tebow, yeah. And Orton's done. So right.
Or everyone's favorite domer,
Brady Quinn. Brady Quinn. And Steph's. Do females have spank banks?
Yes. And then he is.
Peyton Hillis, Brady Quinn.
Along with Peyton Hillis.
Ryan says definitively.
Absolutely.
Yes.
Tessa has confirmed females do have spank
apparently
banks.
Apparently, Tessa's spank bank. Something to behold.
We move on to Paul, picking next to last. Andre Johnson, Darren McFadden, Matt Stafford, Mike Williams, Owen Daniels, law firm, top six picks. Anything stick out for you?
I don't particularly love Owen Daniels there in the fifth round. I mean, I think that if he's healthy, he could get some value out of him. But, I mean, he was out the majority of last season. He's never lived up to his hype.
I really like Paul's first three picks. Mike Williams, Owen Daniels, question marks, law firm. I guess there were some other running backs I think they've drafted, too.
Paul picks up Pierre Thomas in the ninth. Could be a decent pick, especially if
whoever gets hurt or
Reggie Bush
shakes out. He'll get catches and stuff.
Number two in New Orleans, multi-back system there.
Let's talk about Mean Machine.
And then Gostkowski.
Let's talk about
Mean
Machine.
Is Mean Machine going to...
Let's talk about Mean Machine. I draft last Roddy White, Matt Forte, Jason Witten, Eli Manning, Knowshon Moreno, top five picks. Anything stick out there for you?
I mean, obviously Eli Manning in the fourth round. Yeah, your ideal setup there.
See, but I think... Manning, at least, he's thrown for, like, he's gotten, like, 4,000-yard seasons. If he throws less picks than usual, I think he could
I think it also depends on Nick staying healthy. I mean, last season there was a little bit of Russian roulette there with the Giants receiving core, so who knows.
Throw all those touchdowns to Mario Manningham. That's
again, cool. Like I was saying with Eli Manning, kind of hamstrung there with the bye weeks. I didn't want to take Flacco, and Josh Freeman was my pick there. Really happy taking Knowshon Moreno there in the fifth. Really happy Plaxico Burress in the eighth.
I love the round seven pick, Mike Thomas.
Mike Thomas in
number
the seventh.
Number one wide receiver in Jacksonville. Mm-hmm. He's going to get a ton of catches. I think that's a really great PPR pickup.
Yeah. And I think Plex is going to get some end zone throws. He's going to get some jump balls.
Yeah, I also like the Darren Sproles pick in number nine.
Oh, do you like
that
pick? I see Plexico
actually getting some type
I was pretty happy with that pick. I was afraid that Brian McGinnis is going to take him. Brian McGinnis usually is Sproles. Always bobbing on Sproles' knob. So I was happy to pick him up at number nine.
Dude, so. Plexico, though, I'm thinking he's fairly likely to get into some kind of, like,
legal trouble?
Poker game disagreement with friends. And, like, it could go...
And
could
accidentally shoot
accidentally,
off. Yeah.
Accidentally stabs himself.
It could go wrong. But
so that's our team evaluations from top to bottom. Within those team evaluations, just looking at the league as a whole, the one team for you guys, let's go around the table here, one team that sticks out has probably had the best draft.
Matt, go ahead, man. Who had the best draft, you think?
Man... Best draft.
I can start if you know.
Go ahead. Go ahead there, John.
I honestly like Tyler's draft. And the reason why I like Tyler's draft is those top five picks are really solid, especially if Matt Schaub pans out to be a decent quarterback. I know McGinnis isn't really high on Schaub. His Schaub kind of screwed him over last year. Had a head scratcher at number 10 with Jerome Harrison.
By that time in the draft, I mean,
and but you know,
what else are you get?
But you're looking for upside there, and
sure,
I just don't
I think
see a
Jerome
lot.
Jerome Harrison has some. If Bess gets hurt, he's quick. He could catch balls out of the backfield.
Tyler, I think you had a fairly decent draft. Again, Chris Johnson, Akeem Nicks, Matt Schaub, Javon Bess, Vernon Davis. Good top five picks there.
Personally, I like Goat Punishment there.
Yeah, I'm going to agree with Maddie on this one. I thought Ryan had the best draft.
Yeah.
He seemed to be one step ahead of most of the trends. He took a tight end early.
Oh,
I thought,
Oh, God.
I appreciate this.
Matt
and Andy are jacking each other off, by the way, at the table. Or they're going double team on the right.
Oh, yes.
They're going double team on the
I'm using my left hand.
Yes.
So,
just
it's,
got the
so it's not good. But no, I thought Ryan had the best draft. I think it was very close. Again, I want to say there was extreme amount of parity.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And a lot of uncertainty at this
point. Yeah, I mean, the draft...
This is only the beginning of the year.
Last year,
so
the draft went a little bit more predictably than I thought this year. I think that may have been a product of me drafting earlier last year. But I thought Ryan did have the best draft.
Yeah,
Ryan,
Ray Rice is obviously great. And Tony Romo being healthy again this year, I think he's
going to
put up big
really
numbers.
Surprised Ray Rice fell that far in that round. Ryan, who was your favorite? or you know, top most solid team for you?
I like McGinnis's draft. I like Andy's draft. I think McGinnis took the guys he had to take when he had to take them.
I think, for as frustrated as McGinnis seemed, he had a great draft.
Yeah,
I think his first four picks are
for claiming
great.
Every round that someone stole his pick.
The first four picks are good.
Yeah, and
he kind of tails off
Bush,
with Ocho Cinco
Bush
there,
is
but
Bush.
Bush.
Julio Jones again could have a big year. I know people don't like rookie receivers, but Malcolm Floyd, tied to a big offense.
Yeah,
I don't think McGinnis made
than,
a lot.
Other
but,
than
other
Ocho
than
Cinco,
Rashad,
Rashad
Jennings,
and Ocho Cinco.
See, I don't hate the Ocho Cinco thing as much as you guys do.
Okay, so we move on. Who is your weakest team? And let's be a little bit, let's be nicer here. But
I have to go with Vec. I mean, I know Eric has more experience, therefore we should hold him to a higher standard. But Vec, it seemed like just...
looking for familiarity, maybe, with the Heinz Ward.
I think so. I think Vec
like
was a product of not a whole lot of intense prep, which is understandable.
Let's be honest. Let's cut our losses with Vec. I'm happy he showed up for the draft. I really am happy.
I'll give you that.
That's a win-win situation.
And in that case, I think we have to go to Eric.
Eric, I would put Eric in all kidding aside.
Because you said you got to hold him to a higher standard.
All kidding aside, Eric, I mean, you talked a big game. Maybe I was let down a little bit.
Yeah.
You got me wet with anticipation, and I still have blue balls here with this one.
Can I say this?
Felix
say this?
Jones. You guys like that pick. I don't like Felix Jones.
For as much, I think Fred Jackson is to Eric what Joe Addai is to me.
Sure.
Fair comparison?
Very fair.
The league hates it.
The problem is
the
CJ Spiller is a much better backup than anybody in Indy.
Fred Jackson is his guy, and he took his guy. You take the guys you know, and I think that's what Eric did there.
I also do not like the two defense look of Eric. Eric stands by his testament. The defenses score statistically about as many points as tight ends. I really don't like that.
I also don't like the
dual tight end pick that he had, Dustin Keller and Lance Kendricks.
Lance Kendricks, a lot of head scratches, a lot of wasted space there.
Ryan, did you have an alternate besides Becker, Eric?
No, I think that's fine. I'm happy to piss off Eric at this point in the season.
Okay. I would agree with that statement. You get two, Matt?
Oh, yeah.
Matt doesn't want to create any enemies. Matt, this is your chance to take a dig at Joel.
Although
that is true. That
he
is
can't
true.
Respond.
That's true, dude. All the shit Joel gives you. Now is your time, Maddie.
Right.
So we're going to draft awards here. We have two draft awards. The first draft award is the biggest steal award. Out of the entire draft, round by round, we covered round by round and by teams, who do you think got the best value out of their pick? What pick out of the entire draft stood out for you? I know mine. I have two right away. I have Reggie Wayne going in the fourth round to Andy.
That's a
really good pick. Like he said, Reggie Wayne, top five wide receiver. Going in the fifth round. I also have...
barely inside the top 48 picks. So.
Yeah, I also have Rob Gronkowski, tight end to Brian.
Yeah.
Not a huge point getter for him, but value over the spot taken. Brian really outdid himself with that pick there.
Yeah. Yeah, that was a good pick. I like that pick.
Anyone else?
I don't know, man. It's hard to... It's with the draft this deep, with this many teams... it's hard to know what your last four or five position player picks will look like. So guys who just loaded up on backs and receivers, I think, will find a steal. In 5 or 6 weeks, we'll know who got that ninth round running back or receiver who happens to just blow the doors off of things. And that's why I think the two defenses and the two tight ends thing, you're just giving
mistake.
Up. You're giving up.
You're giving
other
up,
receivers that might be good.
You're giving
or
up
backs
a lottery
that
ticket.
Good.
That's at this point, that's what it is. So.
Yeah.
Biggest reach in the draft?
Hernandez.
Nah.
Hernandez at five.
Matt Ryan in second
back.
Round.
Matt Ryan was a huge reach.
Matt Ryan would probably be my reach.
I agree.
Again, what was he thinking? Second round, taking Matt Ryan.
That's
taking
early.
Matt Ryan over such quarterbacks as.
Stafford.
Peyton Manning. Matt Stafford.
Matt Schaub.
Ben Roethlisberger.
Josh Freeman.
Yep.
Ben Roethlisberger. I don't know.
Yeah, I think Ryan over Hernandez.
But, I mean, I would think overall, as we evaluate the draft just broadly, like we talked about, not very, only a few teams stand out on either side. Not very many really good teams, not very many horrible teams.
Yeah.
A lot of people evenly match, which is going to make week one matchups
extremely difficult to predict.
A little bit to predict. We're going to attempt to do this. We're going to run right down the gauntlet here. First matchup, we have Goat Punishment versus the McCoy Pond Pirates.
Yeah. Nick's got
two really good friends. What are your predictions for this?
Nick has good matchups against me this first week. I've got Romo. Romo's playing the Jets defense, which is not going to work out very well. Ray Rice is against the Steelers defense week one. Those could not turn out as well. So I think Nick has an advantage against me in week one, but I'm not going to concede to him right now, but I think he's got a leg up as far as just the matchups, how they laid.
Any other thoughts with that matchup?
I mean, I think I'm rooting for Nick in this one. I mean, I have to admit, I'd like to see the rookie pulling out.
I'd like to see Nick win. I mean, he is a good friend of mine. I'd also like to see him fall flat on his face. I really would like to see him get his dick kicked in the dirt. We move on to the second matchup. We have B-Mac versus Steel City. Highlights of that matchup. Matt, how do you like your chances against Brian?
Well, just looking at the points already, I looked at that. He's going to be favored by quite a bit, actually. So I actually don't like that. So I'm just going to be flat honest with
him. Hoping to keep it as close as possible.
Exactly.
Maybe get an early injury
right,
from
I'm,
Brian's
well,
team.
I don't know about that, but I'm hoping some guys have some big weeks, you know. That's pretty much all I can hope for, because I think he's going to be favored in that one.
We move on to Stringy Guitars versus Lucky 7.
I mean, who's not rooting for Aaron in that matchup?
I don't know anybody who's not. Probably the only week that a lot of people are rooting for Aaron against Joel. Joel likes to be the underdog. He likes to toot his own horn.
Foster's predicted for like 25 points in week one.
Okay.
If he gets 25 points,
yeah. It'll be a good day.
Joel's going to win.
He's going to start off the week with a bang, and we will not hear the end of it. Next matchup, we have Fuzzy Duck against Meerkats. Paul against Eric. Again, people probably pulling for Paul, the silent favorite in that one. Another case, as with Joel, probably somebody who runs their mouth a little bit too much in Stat Tracker on the Igloo boards. Any other thoughts? I mean, is anybody here at this table pulling for Eric in that matchup?
I like Eric. Eric's my
I like
my
Eric
ally.
Too. I like Eric too.
Eric is the one guy in this league who will trade with me. So I need
You're
to watch
sucking
what
up to
I
Eric.
Say. I need to watch what
You're
I say
sucking
because,
up to Eric.
Because
Shut
Eric
up.
And I could have a midseason trade.
This sounds like collusion
to me. That I don't
yeah,
want
this
to
is
ruin
collusion.
Right now.
Yeah, okay. We move again, the next matchup we have Adamakong, unlike Adamakong versus Delicious Jaravicious. Probably,
I think Dave probably is
the pedestrian matchup. Maybe two people not on anyone's bad side. Dave's a likable guy. It's hard for me to vote against my wife. I'm not gonna do it. I want Steph to win, but I'd also like to see.
I love you, baby.
I'd like to see Dave.
Dude, how is
do pretty
let's,
well?
Let's think about John's.
You're the mother of my child. I love you.
Think about Steph being pregnant.
Oh yeah,
using that as a way to just get more
purely based
every
on
Sunday.
Purely based
out every Sunday.
Purely based on hormones, I think we should be rooting for Steph in this department.
Dude. I
Sorry.
Don't want John to have to deal with that.
Dave, I hope you go undefeated after this week one matchup, man. Cornbread versus Justin Beck. My weakest team against my strongest team. My picks for the weakest team and strongest team.
Cornbread heavy favorite in that matchup.
A very heavy favorite. David versus Goliath. Anybody else thinks that this might be close?
Yeah, I mean, I think
anything can happen.
Sunday, we'll John. Any given Sunday.
Well, we do have the final matchup of the week. This is the week that was the matchup
of the week.
The matchup that was tabbed by Joel as a week matchup of the week. Joel, I thoroughly enjoyed your poster.
Yes.
My father will thoroughly enjoy your poster.
We need that in a high enough res so that we can blow that up
we
into
a poster.
We need
like a 2 feet by 4 foot
poster. That will
poster.
Be hung on the man porch at my dad's house.
Can we get that in the Evangelist as well?
right by his post picture.
Mean Machine versus Father O'Hara's Heroes.
O'Heroes.
Father O'Hara's O'Heroes. I don't know.
John, a 5-point favorite after Andy, I pick up a defense.
Andy picks up a defense. I looked at points.
The real wild card is Kevin Cobb. I mean, he's only projected.
Is Manning going to start? If he does, you start him.
I don't think Manning is going to start. I think the big question mark is Cobb going to have a decent game or not?
And is Eli Manning going to have a decent game or not?
Who's he playing?
This might come down to quarterbacks.
Cobb is playing, I believe, San Francisco that week?
Yeah, I think it
I haven't looked at my team matchups.
I think it's an NFC West matchup.
He's
going to
have a lot of good matchups against NFC West teams. So I think
San Francisco has a fairly decent defense.
Interdivision matchups week one, right? I mean, like the Steelers are playing the Ravens. Yeah. Browns playing Bengals. I think it's interdivision matchups.
Yeah, I believe it's San Francisco there.
So he should have a good matchup.
I mean, yeah, Kevin Cobb is a real wild card for me. In looking at the early projections from Yahoo, which are absolute shit.
Agreed.
It seems like John's points trend toward the upper end. My points trend toward the lower end of what I would consider. Reggie Wayne not getting a lot of credit there in the Indy offense with Kerry Collins at quarterback, so we'll have to see how that plays out. I think it is as much of a toss up as anyone could expect. Maybe
I don't think we really know what's going to happen this year, guys.
What are our, as we conclude the podcast? It's probably gone on a little bit longer than we hoped it would, but overall feelings of the draft. Again, like we said, a lot of fairly even teams. I'm fairly surprised and fairly pleased that we had everybody present at the draft.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Kudos to everyone.
Dave squeaking in. Paul made it. Beck made it. Nick made it in. Joel made it in.
Yeah.
Joel with his coffee house Wi-Fi.
Yeah. Coffee house Wi-Fi showed up strong.
I am happy with that. So I would say overall fairly successful draft. I think probably the winners and losers will be decided in the next 2 or 3 weeks.
Waiver wire ads, man.
Yeah.
I mean, 5 or 6 of the top scoring players have yet to be added to roster, so anything can happen.
So,
yeah. I think at this point, people who are active and pay attention will obviously...
People not in church on Sunday.
Yeah.
You've got to evaluate priorities.
I've already got
to dump a kicker, apparently. So there's that. A drafted kicker that's out 6 to 10 weeks. So
That concludes our podcast. Again, like I said earlier, feel free, after you listen to this, we'll try and get this up tonight. Listen to it.
Eric, don't dominate the discussion.
Post your comments. Post your reactions to our views on the Igloo boards. Keep it clean, keep it nice, but everybody, here's to a great season. Any other closing remarks by anybody else?
I think that's it.
Nib High football rules.
Nib High football rules.
All right.